Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
The story is told, notice how I said that, that's almost like once upon a time. But this is a preacher's tale. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But 150 years ago, court was being held in a little southern town. The judge asked for a Bible. He said, we have to have a Bible so these witnesses can take their oath. Couldn't find a Bible. The judge was frustrated. Somebody finally said, Your Honor, we have John Jones here. He's an old man. He's a member of the Church of Christ. He's got the whole Bible in his head. I recommend that we bring him down and let the witnesses put their left hand on his head and raise their right hand. The judge inquired and said, that's sufficient. Go ahead and do it. You know what? If we don't know something about the history of a passage, the culture, the geography, we miss part of it. I'm sure that Brother Jones knew a lot about the Bible, and God bless him for that. He might have been my great-grandfather. My folks knew the Bible. But in those days, we didn't know the details. And this course that we're teaching on Sunday morning is to help us get some of the details. Notice that Herod died in 4 B.C. B.C. means before Christ. Jesus was a baby when Herod died. Really? I thought Jesus was born on January 1st. 1 A.D., because A.D. means the year of our Lord. Somebody got it messed up. He might have been born 5 B.C., 6 B.C., even 7 B.C., but he was 5, 6, or 7 years old when 1 A.D. came around, just the way it is. Now, this class on Herod is going to take some time to get into. I wish I could keep you here till 3 o'clock this afternoon. Even thought about talking to Paul about making two sessions here, but I said, no, that might just give further confusion. So in order to get ready for Herod, I want us to look at the next slide and look at some words you're going to see that probably are not too familiar. Ptolemy, a general of Alexander the Great. Seleucus, a second general of Alexander the Great. Antiochus Epiphanes. That's Antiochus IV. He was king of Syria. Antiochus Epiphanes means Antioch was God, Antiochus was God manifest. Menelaus, the high priest, appointed by Antiochus, the wicked king. Mattathias, an opposition leader against Syria, maybe the beginning of the Sadducees. Maccabee, Judas Maccabee was named Maccabee because he was called the hammer. He was on our side, at least for a while. Hasmonean, it's a dynasty of the Maccabeans against Syria. Hyrcanus, John Hyrcanus was high priest, and he became the ruler of Judea. Idumea, the land of Esau, his descendants, the Nabataeans, Edomites, their capital was Petra, down below the Dead Sea. Antipas, governor of Idumea, he was converted to Judaism by John Hyrcanus, and he was not converted with the Bible, he was converted with the sword. Antipater, the son of Antipas, he was a very wealthy man down in Idumea. He was a businessman. There were many trade routes that came through that place, and he took advantage of those trade routes, high taxes. Mariamne, granddaughter of John Hyrcanus, one of the 10 favorite wives, one of the favorite wives of Herod's 10, Aristobulus, Mariamna's brother. Now, you won't see those names again because I won't show them, but I will talk about them. And when you try to write Antiochus Epiphanes without seeing it, you'll have no idea what you're doing. And Aristobulus, you didn't name your child that, but these are funny names. They're intertestamental names, and we don't read about them in the Bible. They're not in the Bible. Malachi quit before they came, and Matthew started after they were here. Now go ahead and turn to this map. We won't use the map for a while, but I'm concerned about that map. And I have a right to be concerned about it because it's hard to see. And I made it. I stripped all the names out of it except what I need to know or what you need to know. And I'll try to describe it as we get in there, and you'll at least get an idea of what we're talking about. Okay, what is unusual about this verse? Matthew 3:7. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers," John the Baptist. Because that's the first time we read of a Pharisee or Sadducee in the entire Bible. We've read 39 books in the Old Testament. Never saw one before. What about this verse? Luke 2:12. It came to pass in the days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Syria was involved in that. Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and Joseph of Nazareth had to go to Jerusalem to get registered for his people or for his family. That is unusual. I didn't know that Palestine had anything to do with Rome. Did you? Well, Augustus Caesar was head of the Roman Empire. Let me ask you something about Herod. What is the most terrible thing you know about Herod? I knew you were going to say that. But you know what? Herod killed, according to a medieval report, 144,000 babies. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. In our city, Huntsville, Alabama, at this time, there are only 13,000 children under the age of 5 years. Now, he was killing under the age of 2 years. He was killing in a place like Gurley or Owens Crossroads, surrounding areas. That was scattered houses out here. At real estimates said he probably killed 10 to 20 babies in that time. Now, that's enough. I mean, one was enough. But the whole point is no one except Matthew ever registered that. Josephus said nothing about it. Mark, Luke, and John said nothing about it. No other secular history said anything about it. So skeptics say it didn't really happen. Matthew made it up. Crazy. It was not worth the mention. When you hear about Herod, you'll know that that is the case. It's not a contrived narrative. It is very, very different from that. I promise you that I will try to do better on the map next time. I worked on this one a long time, but we'll just do the best we can in just a minute. Let's look at the intertestamental period just for a few minutes. Alexander the Great established the Greek Empire in 331 B.C. That's after Malachi closed his work. In 323 B.C., he divided the empire among four generals. The Greek Empire, and he divided it between among the four, but the two we're interested in is Ptolemy and Seleucus. Ptolemy was in the north. You see Sele, Syria, and yes, that is pronounced Sele, by the way. Sele, Syria, and Galilee, and then Ptolemy from Egypt, which is on the extreme left here, just off the map, lower left. He tried to take that part, and also the Seleucus was trying to take that part. So they fought over Galilee and Judea and Idumea all the while. Back and forth, back and forth. What a terrible kind of situation. Let's roll the calendar forward a little bit and come to a man named Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a Seleucid ruler, that is, from the north. And Antiochus Epiphanes decided he would go down in Egypt and he would take Egypt. It was kind of an independent nation. The Romans were trying to take it, so he said, I'll go down and take it. I introduced him here because he was such a wicked man. He was called himself God Manifest. The Jews called him Antiochus Epimenes, which means Antiochus the Madman. And you'll see why they called him that in just a minute. He went to Egypt and was doing a good job of taking Egypt. But in the summer of 168 B.C., a Roman general came down, an ambassador rather. He brought an army with him. And he found Antiochus and told Antiochus that he had to withdraw from Egypt. Antiochus saw his army and saw that he meant what he said, but he said, give me a while and I will consult with my men about that, which means give me time to meet you. And this ambassador took a stick and drew in the sand around Antiochus, and he said, you will answer before you step out of that circle. And Antiochus looked and saw the vast guard that this man had, and he said, I will leave, and he went back to Jerusalem. Now, here's the problem. The people, he had taken Jerusalem, but the people of Jerusalem heard that he was dead. They heard that Antiochus had been killed, and they were elated. Because they were elated, then they got busy to take Jerusalem back entirely. Jason took Jerusalem back, all of it. But Antiochus came in. He was really alive. They were afraid of him. And here's what he did. He slaughtered many of the Jews in Jerusalem. He installed Menelaus as high priest. Menelaus had been high priest, but Jason had become high priest and was an aggressive Hellenist, by the way. These two men were Jews, but he was an aggressive Hellenist. He had even built a gymnasium in Palestine, which doesn't sound bad, except when you look at what the word means. It is from gymnos, which means naked. Gymnasium was a place that naked men wrestled in, that they competed in, and the Jews didn't like that unless they were Hellenists. And mamas didn't want their boys to go there, but many of them did. It was a very liberal thing that was being done. Antiochus Epiphanes forbade circumcision. You can no longer circumcise your children. Some of the women had that done anyway, and when he found them, he killed the baby. He hung the baby around their necks and made them walk with the baby for several days and took them up to the top of a high wall and pushed mama and dead baby over the wall. He was serious about getting rid of Judaism. He forbade the reading of the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, which they read through every year in their synagogues. He forbade the keeping of the dietary laws. He made them eat pork. He placed the statue of Zeus in the temple of Jerusalem and sacrificed swine on the altar in Jerusalem at the temple. I mean, how worse can it get? Some have said this is Daniel's abomination of desolation. Well, he took the entire area over, but there was a little village about 20 miles west of Jerusalem called Modim. And one day the Syrian soldiers came in under his command. He was not there, of course, but the commander was under his command. And the people of that town had gathered, and they had a priest there named Mattathias Maccabeus, Hasmonean, and the commander of that group coming in commanded Mattathias to offer a swine on the altar to demonstrate that he was abandoning the Jewish faith and taking up that which the Romans or Syrians wanted him to do. He absolutely refused to, and as he was standing by the altar, one of the old men in that community, a Jewish man that they loved and appreciated, got up and he said, I will make the offering myself. And Mattathias grabbed him and beheaded him and turned to his five boys and said, let's go. And all of you who want to go with me, let's go. And they hid out in the abandoned places there, the desert places that they knew, the Syrians didn't. The Syrians came after them. They engaged in guerrilla warfare and were defeating the Syrians until the Syrians learned that they wouldn't fight on the Sabbath day. They wouldn't even block their caves up on the Sabbath day. And they said, we've got it made. We'll attack them on the Sabbath day. And Mattathias called a meeting and said, we will fight on the Sabbath day. And they defeated the Syrians. A little later, one of the Maccabean brothers was south of Jerusalem when the Syrians were making an approach to Jerusalem. They were using elephants, and the Jews were very afraid of elephants, as you can imagine. They had no idea how to defend them, and this particular young man said, I think I can take care of that. And he spotted an elephant down there that had a royal seat on top of it, took his sword and went under that elephant and stabbed it, and it fell on him and killed him, but at least the elephant died too. And Lysias, who was leading that charge against the Jews, got on into Jerusalem, but he learned that someone was attacking Antioch, which was his territory, somebody trying to take it over. And he said, I must go. And he made an agreement with the Judeans that they could rule themselves. And he left. Therefore, they moved in and cleansed the temple. And lights were lighted around Jerusalem and in the temple. And that happened in December. And it is called Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. Now, there's your history for that. John Hyrcanus, the son of Simon, one of those Maccabean brothers, became high priest, and he decided he would convert Idumea, Esau's children, to Judaism. And he went down there and did that at the point of a sword. You might say, a high priest shouldn't act like that. Well, might not should have, but he did. And one of the men he converted was Antipas, who was governor. And Antipas had a son named Antipater. Antipater was a smart man. He made a lot of money because of the trade routes that came through Idumea. He set up places where they could be taxed, the traders could be taxed, and he became very, very wealthy. And of course, Antipas, governor of Idumea, Julius Caesar, who was in Rome, of course, appointed Antipas' son, Antipater, governor of Judea with Roman citizenship. So he takes the Idumeans, which were not Romans, he took them and took one of the wealthy men and appointed him governor of Judea. And now we're almost coming around to Herod, because when he was governor of Judea, that is Antipater, he had a son that he appointed governor of Galilee, and that son was 26 years old. His name was Herod. So all that's been said before is mere introduction. If you remember any of that, you're better than I would be, because I'd forget all of it if someone told it to me for the first time. But Herod, at 26, became governor of Galilee, which incidentally was not the kind of place that Judea was. It was a very mixed up place, and they too had to be converted. Even though most of them were Jews, they were converted to Judaism. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Remember that, don't you? Well, Herod wanted to make an impact, and there was a man in that place in Galilee that was creating a lot of problem, and Herod killed him. Well, he was a governor. Couldn't he do that? No, he couldn't. Not without the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem agreeing for him to do that. So they put out a warrant for his arrest. And Herod could have appealed to Rome, but he didn't want to. He went to Jerusalem to stand before the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. He was supposed to go with ragged clothes and matted hair, very humbly walk in and say, I'm so sorry for what I've done. That's the way people came before the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of the Jews, because he was being tried for his life. It was a capital offense. What did he do? He went to his hairdresser, had his hair fixed. He went and got new clothes. He was flashy. And he walked in with a personal armed guard. And the Sanhedrin was totally amazed. Here's a man on trial for his life. You think we're going to be humble toward him? Absolutely not. We're not going to give anything. And he was going to be executed. John Hyrcanus, not the first, but the second, was high priest. And he saw what was happening, and he dismissed the court. And he called Herod. He said, "You get out of here, or we're going to kill you." And he went back to Galilee. He had won in the trial of his life. He had won his first great victory. And then Herod was appointed governor of Cilicia, Syria. Now the word Cilicia means entire. The entirety of Syria. That's a misnomer. It's not the case. It was a small part of Syria. It was a place between the Lebanese mountains and the anti-Lebanese mountains from the Bakwe Valley on up. It did not reach down even into Galilee or even into Judea. It went the other way. And it was a rather small area, but it was an effective area. But Herod was appointed governor. And later, Antony, which was co-regent with Augustus Caesar over in Rome, appointed Herod and his brother, Tetrarchs, rulers of Jerusalem. Herod was an Arab commoner, hated by the Jews. They hated him. He was not them. He was a descendant of Jacob's brother. Such a wicked man. But Herod was a politician, and he became engaged to a Hasmonean prince. Her name was Mariamne, the granddaughter of John Hyrcanus II, which was a very spiritual man. He was establishing a good bloodline. He was going to be a Jew, after all, by marriage. This is quite amazing. Antigonus was king of the Jews, the last Hasmonean king. I want you to look at something, though, now. Look at a picture of Masada. Masada is down, excuse me, don't move it yet. Masada is halfway. All right, first of all, that little body of water up at the top is the Sea of Galilee going down the Jordan River. The next one is Dead Sea, which looks like it's trying to and can't, because that's a picture of the Dead Sea as it exists today. The Dead Sea as it existed when I saw it was a complete body of water. It had a tongue of land sticking out over it, but it was a complete body of water. The upper part of the Dead Sea is 1,300 feet deep. The lower part used to be 6 feet deep, sort of a lagoon. It's not 6 feet deep anymore. But Masada is halfway down the big Dead Sea there on the left. I have it down there. It's down there in the ball part. That's the only city, if you can't read it, it's the only city down there. And that is Masada, just on the high ground out from the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is 1,300 feet above sea level. The 1,300 feet below sea level. Masada is 1,300 feet above the Dead Sea. It is equal in elevation to the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, let's look at Masada now. This is a picture of the great mountain that Herod later built a palace on. It is a high mountain, as I said, 1,300 feet. It is almost, you almost can't get up there. Right now they have a sky lift. Otherwise I would never have gone to the top of it because it takes a day to get there. It'd take me probably a week. But they have a sky lift to take you up there, thankfully. And that is Masada. Next picture, please. This is the storage bins that were used by those who stayed up there. Another picture. There you go. This is the reservoir where they stored water. It was in a desert, and every once in a while there'd be a toad strangler. There'd be a heavy rain. I know most of you are not from Big Cove. And they had to have some way to store their water. And this was it. It's the only water they had up there. That was their reservoir. And then next picture is the palace that Herod built on Masada for himself. And that's one of the 15 that he built while he was in office. So now you're smarter than you were. Herod decided to go to the Idumeans to get help in killing the king of the Jews. And he went down there, but he knew that he was going to get into trouble with his family. So he took all of his family, his mom and his brothers, sister, and Mariamne to this place, Masada, for protection. And he found out the Idumeans were rejecting him, so he decided to go to Italy and see Rome. Next picture, please, is a map. And this one is not so hard to understand. Over here, Arabia, at the bottom right-hand corner, you see at the end of that this conglomeration of color. That is what we've just been looking at. That's Palestine. If you go to the left, you see the boot country over there near the end of the left. That is Italy. And you see Italy kicking a little island down there. That is Sicily, incidentally, where the family that was here Wednesday night is going to be moving to. But he went over there 1,400 miles and probably sailed between Italy and Sicily and went up to Rome, the only city you see on the coast there of Italy. And he went up to see Augustus Caesar to get some help. Or really, didn't see Augustus. He saw Mark Antony and to get some help. And that's the way he operated. He was a very great politician. Antony beheaded Antigonus. There was no trouble. He gave the order, and somebody went in to Jerusalem and got that ruler, beheaded him. But there were hostile forces when Herod got back in Galilee, so he had to go up and tend to that. And he took care of that matter. However, the Senate in Rome, this is in the year 37 B.C., declared Herod king of the Jews. So we got Antigonus out of the way. We got Herod going back to Jerusalem. Has to go to Galilee. And then he found out that Joseph, who was put in charge of the group at Masada, had taken some men out to go to Jericho to get food. And they were waylaid by some soldiers and killed. And so when Herod got back to Jerusalem, he decided to take care of those men, and he did. He got them, he killed them, and he beheaded the guy in charge. This is a gory kind of situation. Now, Herod didn't trust anybody, family included. He named a Babylonian Jew high priest. That didn't set well with anybody. Mariamne's mother, Alexandra, became very furious about it because Aristobulus, her teenage son, was in line to be the high priest. She wrote Cleopatra down in Egypt. Yeah, I did say Cleopatra. And told her about it. And very soon, Herod appointed Aristobulus as high priest. But he didn't want to. He always had solutions for things he didn't want to do. He called a party down in Jericho, which is on the coast. On the edge of Jordan River, gathered a party there and invited Aristobulus. And then the men were playing in the pool one afternoon, and Aristobulus was drowned. We don't have any idea who caused that, do we? He goes to Rome again, and he leaves someone in charge, Mariamne. In fact, it was his brother-in-law this time, with strict orders that if he did not return, Mariamne would be killed. He had left those orders before, but this time was different because his brother-in-law told Mariamne what he said. It was not good. And Mariamne was his favorite wife. He loved her dearly, as much as a king could love a woman, I guess. And she was furious when he returned. his Herod's sister told Herod that Mariamne was going to poison him. We have no evidence that this was truth. But Mariamne's mother testified against her in court. And she was found guilty and sentenced to death. Herod wanted her to live. He was very angry with her, but he wanted her to live. She was all he had. He decided he would exile her, but not execute her. But then he thought about the consequences. What would the people say? He allowed her to be executed in 29 BC, and he lived 25 years after that in total despair. He lost his mind. He later executed two of his sons. Mariamne's boys believed they were trying to kill him. That's what he was told. Caesar Augusta heard this, and here's what he said. I had rather been Herod's hus than his weos. I said that on purpose because I wanted you to see the connection between hus and weos. I had rather be Herod's hus than his weos. It was a language kind of situation, but here's what he literally said. I had rather be Herod's pig than his son. Because, of course, Herod could not eat meat, could not eat pork, since he had become a Jew. And the pig was a lot safer than his son would be. Augustus Caesar, incidentally, knew his sons very well. They went to Rome to train to be kings of Judea. But it did not work out. Among Herod's victims, three of his own sons, Mariamne, the wife that he loved most, Aristobulus, the high priest of the temple in Jerusalem, baby boys in Bethlehem, many, many other murders. We keep an account for them. He was a miserable man. Mariamne's death plagued him the rest of his life. He had nightmares, could not sleep. He died in the year 4 BC of a chronic kidney disease, a rare infection that causes gangrene of the genitalia, perhaps gonorrhea. I wonder why. At the age of 69, he died and was buried, perhaps in Mount Herodium, we're not sure, 9 miles south of Jerusalem. His grave has not been identified. Go to the next slide, please. There is Herodium as it now stands. He built that mound, and let's get a top view of that in the next slide. That's the way it looks looking down on it. But Herod did one last thing before he died. He passed a law and gave it to those who would enforce it, that he would die in Jericho, and that the mighty men of Judah would be brought to Jericho when he was very sick and nearing death. And the day he died, they were to all be killed because he did not want the Jews to rejoice at his birth. He wanted them to mourn. The best men of that area were to be killed when he died. We're thankful that Archelaus and Herod's sister did not carry out those orders. Those men did not die. But Herod died thinking they would. Okay, go back to the map for whatever it's worth. Herod was a renovator of old cities, builder of new ones. He built 15 palaces for his own protection. Jerusalem, I think he had three there. Herodium, Masada, Caesarea Maritima. That's what we call Caesarea on the coast. And then one at Machaerus, which is on the east coast. It's on that map, if you can pick it out. That's where John the Baptist was beheaded. He built a temple in Jerusalem, probably to attempt to placate his Judean subjects. But he built pagan temples also, scattered throughout the land. undertook public works, projects in other countries, aqueducts, markets, colonnades, theaters, and roads. He built, he saved the ancient Olympic Games, incidentally, from terminal collapse, and was named president for life. He was survived by three of his sons. And let's look at the next map, and we'll close with this. Archelaus, Antipas, and Philip. Archelaus was the one who let's look at Antipas first. And I know what colors are, but I don't know what to call them. I know what blue is, and I know what yellow is. But I guess that's yellow-orange there on the other side of the Dead Sea. He controlled that area, and then another area, up Galilee area. He controlled that. And then Archelaus controlled the Samaria, Judea area, the big area. And then Philip controlled that area that is, let's see how I can say that funny looking thing up there in the northern part. It's a light, light blue. If I got it figured out there, it has Caesarea Philippi and Seleucia and those on it. That's the way the territory was divided by Herod when he died. Most of the times you read of Herod in the New Testament, you're not reading about Herod the Great. You're reading about one of his sons or grandsons. And you get that figured out and come and help me with it, and we'll all be happy. I would say, do you have any questions? But no, you don't. I used to say to my professors, I would ask a question, but I'm so confused, I don't know how. So I hope I didn't do that to you. Thank you for being here so much. Thank you for listening online. Let us bow for prayer. Almighty God, for the blessings we have in Christ, we give our thanks. We're thankful for the secular knowledge we have given by men like Flavius Josephus and other writers that are not even interested in your work, but they provide us information anyway. We pray that you'll bless us to understand it and to understand the New Testament better because of our knowledge of the intertestamental period. Thank you for this class. Thank you for this church. Bless them and all that they do for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed, and don't run in the hall.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.